Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a couple finds the rude woman sitting too close in a movie theater may not have been there at all. Well, that's creepy.
As if they're not annoying enough when they're alive.
Sometimes I wish I could just go, poof, you're gone.
Right.
And in this case, maybe they did. Also, sometimes it may be better to not research your hotel before you stay. A child thinks the shadow floating around her room may be a friend from a fairy tale. And could the spinning blackness in a listener's kitchen be a portal? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm intrigued by some of these headlines.
Good.
This sounds interesting. The hotel, don't research it before. I'm wondering how many TripAdvisor or Yelp reviews have things about hauntings in them.
I bet quite a few.
I just tried to go onto TripAdvisor to search.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't let you search by hauntings.
You did?
It's not a category, unfortunately.
No.
But I typed in like a city, and then I thought, well, maybe if I can get down to the city level, it didn't produce results. But I'm sure if you maybe Googled it, and then it pulls from that search, you may be able to find it.
Were you looking for something that was or was not haunted?
I just typed in the word haunted.
Uh-huh.
Just to see if anything, haunted tours and such came up.
Okay.
But I didn't get the Days Inn. Paramus doesn't have its haunting listed.
Okay.
But I wonder because you can write pretty much anything you want almost in those reviews,
mm-hmm.
User reviews. So you'd have to imagine that there's some interesting ghost stories.
Yeah.
That do get posted. I wonder how they handle that when that happens, because I know the hotels themselves can go back to those sites and complain and say, hey, this is clearly not an accurate depiction of our hotel.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue that, if you have bed bugs or you have, things falling apart in a room or something, you can't. That's a review.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose they have a leg to stand on if somebody is saying, there was something in my room that ripped the covers off of me in the middle of the night. And I heard laughing in the bathroom. I think that might go to the Yelp review board, and depending on who's reviewing it, going, yeah, that really isn't quantifiable. That's somebody making shit up,
Sure.
Although they may not be,
mm-hmm.
but it's just, it is because of what it is you're talking about. That's in the world of normal, quote unquote, that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's true.
So I wonder if that's something that could be removed. Heck, if I had a hotel and people were saying that shit, I'd be like, can I promote this one? Can I put this one to the top? And then charge a premium for that room. Make it a big deal.
See, now I'm nervous because we have a little weekend trip coming up and you were in charge of booking one of our hotels.
I just said I couldn't Google hauntings. I've tried doing this.
But I don't know if you were Googling to find a haunted hotel or to make sure it wasn't for my sake.
Well, I know that you do not like the haunted hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So I purposely, when I'm searching, I'm not seeking them out.
Okay.
But if we do happen to come across one, that is, and we find out after the fact, it's not because I was trying to get us in a haunted hotel.
Well, that's a nice little out right there.
I assure you of that.
Okay.
No, I don't. I'm not searching for them because okay. I know you really don't like them. And I mean, because there's been times we've talked about staying at, like, oh, this one would be neat to stay at mm-hmm. because it had this horrible thing happen at it.
Right.
And you're like, nope, not going to happen.
No.
So, to the best of my knowledge, every hotel that we ever stay at, not haunted.
Okay.
Unless I'm telling you in advance and I've heard something.
And then you'll go by yourself.
Well, I probably don't have much of an option at that point.
No.
But to the best of my knowledge,
okay.
none of them are haunted.
We'll see. I will report back.
It's going to be like the least expected one. Like there's some like older ones I know that are on our itinerary. At least one I think is old. At least it looks old. I don't know. But it'll be like the Howard Johnson mm-hmm. that we're staying in. At one of them that's going to be like just completely decked out and is completely horrendous.
Yeah.
And haunted. The one you least expect.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll report back when we come back for that. 855-853-4802 is the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, like Elaine did. Elaine writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Back in 2013, my husband and I went to our local independently owned movie house to see the movie This Is the End. When we reached the movie house, we discovered we were the only people seeing the movie. I joked that we had our own private screening. In the middle of the movie, I noticed a bright light flooding into the left side of the theater. I turned to see a young woman with blonde hair walking down the ramp into the theater. I could see she had on a white blouse, but the rest of her clothing was obscured by light surrounding her. I assumed it had to be the woman who works at the movie house. I returned back to watch the movie when I noticed she was walking into the row behind us and sat behind me. Why on earth would she sit down to watch the movie? It makes sense. She would be working. She was also making me feel very uncomfortable. I could feel her staring at the back of my head. Anyway, she sat there for approximately 10 minutes. Then she got up, walked to the exit door on the right, and disappeared. I figured the door was behind a blackout curtain, and that's why I didn't see her open it and leave. I didn't think anything more about it and finished watching the movie. A few days later, I remembered the woman in the movie house, and I mentioned it to my husband. Wasn't it weird when that woman came into the theater and sat down behind us? I didn't even see her leave through the exit door. My husband turned to me and said, "What woman? No one came into the theater, no one sat down behind us, and no one left during the movie." The next time we went to the theater, I checked, and the exit does not have a blackout curtain. The door is visible to all in the theater. I've tried to figure this out, but haven't had any luck. I'm interested to hear what you both think. I did check with the woman whom I thought it was, and it wasn't her. I've had other experiences in this movie house, and I'll share them with you as soon as I can. Thanks for reading my story. I'm very glad I discovered your podcast, and I love listening to the stories told by your listeners. I've even become an EPP. Keep up the good work.
I think it's pretty hard to fake or prevent that light that comes in when you open the door to the lobby or to the hall. You know, when you're in a theater and the door opens and the light comes in because the room's dark.
Sure.
If there's no blackout curtain and that didn't happen, then she went through the door.
Which anyone can do. That's just normal.
Right. That's just perfectly normal.
I think it's interesting that she had some sort of light emanating from her.
Yeah.
As she was walking up. But, you know, when you're in a theater, I mean, she had the right mindset there. Like, oh, it's the employee and maybe it's their flashlight or, mm-hmm. you know, you're thinking rational. You're
sure.
thinking, oh, normal things. Oh, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. And why she sat down, I don't know. Maybe she had a quick break or something. But then when she goes through the door, all bets are off.
And one person saw it and the other one didn't.
Yeah. So I would say, do you think that these things can make themselves known to specific people? Let's say two people who are not very sensitive. Now, obviously, now we talk about sensitive people who seem to pick up on these things more than others. But just two non-sensitive people sitting there. Or let's say they're at the same level of
sensitivity.
Null sensitivity.
Okay.
Normally, they're not seeing dead people. Can that dead person pick who they want to see them if they're both on the same level?
I would think so.
Like just project themselves to one person and not the other?
I think so.
almost like a laser.
Yeah, I think so, because of the other things they can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way sometimes they can communicate without noise.
Sure.
You know, I think they can.
And only one person is hearing something and the other. The laser's not a bad analogy.
No.
Because, you know, the laser light, if you were being shown that right at your eye, you'd be the one noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
No one else next to you would be. I mean, granted, it, you know, it's a very narrow path, but maybe that's how whatever the prism is of how these things are projecting themselves are working. It's just however that works, it can just be projected to the one person.
Yeah.
In a very narrow beam. Or maybe it's not like that at all. Maybe it's all psychic, if you will, or I don't know, telepathic. I don't know if I'm using the right words here or not. But projecting the image to that person. Could it be done? I mean, I know I'm going kind of deep on this one, but could it be that this is all, it's something paranormal, and it's something that's being projected to this person, but they're just seeing it through their mind's eye. This thing is really not going to the theater. That's why no one else is seeing it. But this image is being presented to this person through their mind to see. Almost like sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Where you open your eyes in sleep paralysis, you're going to see shit that's not really there. And no one else around you will see it but you. Same sort of deal.
I would think so. I think at least some are able to do that.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
But interesting nonetheless. Mm-hmm. As we continue to ask thousands of questions. Tim writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Tim. I'm from a small town outside of St. Louis, Missouri. It was featured in a recent podcast. They mentioned the Spanish cemetery that we have, and I highly recommend you check it out. But that's not what my story is about. 2 years ago, I moved to New York for a job. This October, I was finally able to get my family to visit. To cut their drive down, I met them 3 hours down the road to see the Niagara Falls and spent the night. En route, I asked what hotel we would be in. After getting the name, I did what any 20-something would do and searched for the hotel. In my Google results, the hotel's name had Haunted attached to it. As a fan of the show Supernatural, I thought, oh yeah, time to be a badass and hunt a ghost like Sam and Dean. More to come on that. I immediately checked the facts about the hotel, and it was even featured on Celebrity Ghost Stories. Story says in the 1910s, a woman was murdered by her groom in the Victorian suite, and after reading some of the accounts, I lost my courage and prayed we wouldn't stay in that suite. Well, we did, and my grandpa, who's a jokester, kept saying, 'Hello, Shirley, we're here,' and playing around with the ghost, taunting it. When he kept this up later in the night, I experienced crippling heartburn, despite not having any spicy food yet. Well, we leave and venture the town where my parents tell some locals where we're staying, and one guy went white and said, 'This close to Halloween? You're braver than me.' When we got back to the hotel, I was tired and happy. I was so I could sleep through anything. I took a sleep aid as well, so no ghost would wake me up. Exhaustion and sleep aids did nothing as I tossed in the bed all night long, hearing things that were probably my imagination. I eventually fell asleep sometime after midnight, as was woken up at 4 a.m. by hearing plates in the kitchen rattle. I, mind you, am 6'2", 240 pounds, slept gripping my girlfriend the entire night. This noise caused me to wake her because I squeezed her too tight. I asked, 'Did you hear that?' She said, 'No, it's your imagination.' I told her, 'Well, I'm up for the day, and so are you.' This aggravated her. About 20 minutes later, the same noise happened and we both heard it. Not long after this, maybe 5 or so minutes, and the tea kettle my grandpa had used the night prior went off. This was a relief because I figured the old man was up already enjoying some tea. So I go out, look to hang out with him. He was fast asleep. When everyone was up, I asked how their night was, and my grandpa said that the door was being knocked on throughout the night. My parents said they kept waking up feeling something uncomfortable. Sorry that ran on so long. I'll be sure to write in more traumatizing events I experienced as a kid in time. I'm also staying in a haunted hotel this weekend for a wedding. I'm going to be an EPP once my holiday spending is done. Keep up the good work, Tim."
See, I think that's one of the biggest reasons that I'm curious about staying in these nice little, you know, unique places.
Uh-huh.
But then I hear a story like that.
You don't want to Google it. You just want to go off what the website says.
I guess so, yeah.
And believe that it's all completely... And some, you know, like when we were in Savannah, did they talk about it being haunted at all on their website? I don't remember.
No.
Okay.
Their particular place wasn't, and I think they went to great pains to make sure that the word got out that it wasn't.
Okay.
Because when we asked if it was haunted, they seemed slightly offended.
Yeah, that's true. That was one of those awkward moments where... And they even had a little dinner party that night for, like, the neighborhood.
They did.
And we just happened to be the guests that were staying at that bed and breakfast that night. And all the neighborhood came together and they had a cocktail party and like appetizers and everybody. It was like a potluck type deal.
Right.
And everybody brought something. And then they all knew each other. Mm-hmm. And we're just the people staying at
the weird ones in the corner.
Yeah. And then every time someone came up to us, because they were trying to be friendly.
They were.
And then they came up, oh, what do you guys do? Oh, we tell ghost stories for a living.
And then they suddenly found somebody else to talk to.
Like, oh, Bernie, look, he brought in kale. I love kale. You know.
Right.
You know, just something that they probably normally wouldn't enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
They found more enjoyable than talking to us. Although, I wonder how often is it, are they sick of the ghost talk? Are they sick of that in some areas? I could see that being the case.
You know what? If you live in Savannah, tough shit.
That's true.
I mean, there's a huge portion of your tourism that comes in specifically for that.
That's true. I mean, it is part of it. It was this kind of awkward where they were like, I don't know. I was kind of thinking they'd be more accepting of what we did for a living or what we talked about.
No.
But they were just like, yeah, okay, that's great. Try the cheese dip. And then we went on a ghost tour.
We did. We found a reason to leave early.
And that was fun. But the town was nice.
Yeah, kind it was of an beautiful.
Awkward experience at the dinner party, but the hotel was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Cassie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Cassie, and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm a relatively new listener of the show, and I've loved getting to binge listen to episodes. Thank you for all you do. I wanted to share with you an experience that I had as a little girl. This was brought to mind after hearing others on the show talk about shadow people. One of my earliest memories is of being somewhere between 4 and 6 years old and playing alone in our house. My mother was in the shower and on the other end of the house, and I was left to play in the living room for a bit. I was playing with Beanie Babies when I remember looking up and seeing a child-sized dark figure darting around the ceiling. It seemed to be watching me, and it would fly from one side of the room to the other without any sort of pattern. At one point, it flew to the front door of the house and seemed to beckon me to follow. Being a child, the only frame of reference I had for a shadow like this one was Peter Pan's shadow. This made me initially trust it, and I thought that the thing in front of me must be lost or trying to find a friend to play with. I didn't think anyone would believe me if I told them about the cool friend that I had made. I thought that if I told my mom, she wouldn't believe me and I would get in trouble for telling lies. So I set out to prove that this being was real and hopefully make it my friend. I decided to conduct a few simple tests my young mind could think of to try and verify it was indeed Peter Pan's shadow. I stood up, walked around the room thinking it might be my own shadow somehow, but the figure did not seem to move in the way that I was moving. And no light was coming in from the window on the side of the house. To me, this seemed like strong evidence, but didn't really prove anything. I needed to get it to do something. Surely that would prove it wanted to be my friend. My grandparents had brought me a puzzle box as a souvenir from their vacation. It was hand-carved and could only be opened if you slid a slat of wood from one side out, removed a hidden key, replaced the wooden slat, and moved other pieces of the box to reveal the keyhole, and then turned the key. I was very proud of this box and thought that would prove that my friend was real. I opened up the box, took a few pieces of construction paper, and tore them into large squares. After sealing them into the box, I said quietly, "Peter Pan, if you're real, prove it to me." I felt a little silly as I said this and immediately ran into the bathroom where my mom was dyeing her hair after getting out of the shower. She asked me what I was doing and I told her that I had been playing in the living room. She returned to drying her hair. After a few minutes, I decided to check on my box and went to the living room. I turned the corner around the couch, and for the first time, I felt a chill and absolute terror run through me. The box was still sitting on the carpet, closed, and surrounding that box and strewn all across the room were tiny torn scraps of construction paper far smaller than the ones I had torn. I no longer saw the dark figure and scrambled to open the box as fast as I could to confirm my fear. The box was completely empty. I don't know why my cheery attitude changed so suddenly, but I had went from excited at the prospect of this new friend to terrified, knowing that whatever it was bad. I ran to my mom, who was still in the bathroom. "Did you mess with the box in the living room? Did you open it?" I asked her frantically. "Honey, what are you talking about? Did Dad come home early and try to prank me? I've been in here the whole time, and your dad doesn't get home for hours. What's going on?" I told her what had happened. I could tell that she didn't believe me, but she tried her best to console me. I knew there was no way that anyone else had come into the house and removed the papers from the box, and I knew that what I saw was real. After that day, I saw the shadow only a few more times in my bedroom, staring at me from outside of a window, and then again, once above my bed. We moved to another house not too long after, and I never saw that shadow again. Thinking about this still really creeps me out, and I can't help wonder if this was a shadow person or something else entirely. I'd appreciate any input you might have on this. Thank you for reading my story. I hope it wasn't too long-winded. I'll write in again soon about some of the experiences I've had of being at church at night, decorating and setting up rooms and hearing gospel music, and finding toys in classrooms moved around where no one else was there.
I think that moment that you realize that this isn't just a fun shadow to play with, that it's got the ability to do things that humans can't do, That's when the fear comes into play.
Sure.
And I think that's part of the reason that the fear suddenly hit her once she realized the box was not opened, but all the paper was out.
And that's not necessarily meaning that it's fear, but that it's something negative. It's just, this is not natural. This is not normal. So anything normal person would feel fear of that unknown.
Well, and I think part of it is the confusion of fear versus wrapping your mind around something that's very illogical. That, you know, there's a confusion and a bewilderment on something that you first experienced that you're like, there's no logical way that happened. And you're trying to figure it out. It very quickly can fade into fear.
I completely agree. Thank you for writing in that story. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. And if you enjoy the program and you would like some of our best ghost stories ever, that's what our EPP programs are all about. There's more than 70-something of those now available when you become an EPP. You also get exclusive bonus video content as well. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. And there you go. You can get all of that content and more. And enjoy it and help keep our show on the air. So be sure to check that out if you'd like to keep this thing going. Matthew writes in, "I'd call you for the paranormal experience that my father has had, but a 15-year-old with my voice on here seems stupid. It's something only for an adult to do. Maybe I'll call in 4 years from now, but I'll just type it. Okay, so my dad was about 37 at the time this happened. He's had a history of rage moments, and it can be really scary. Now, one day, when he was raging about probably money problems, he punched a big hole into the side of a wooden wall in his old house. His first bleed from the punch, so with his rage and wiping it on the wall, he says he summoned a demon, and he does not lie about this stuff. While he was sleeping that night, he had a dream about a big black wolf with dark red eyes and pink human normal-looking yet large human hands. It choked him with the hands while speaking to him. My dad says that it said that he has been around since the time of the dinosaurs in many different places on Earth, in many different languages and cultures, and I'm sure whatever it is has terrorized animals that are now long extinct. Then all of a sudden, my dad woke up in a cold sweat. He thought it was just a dream until he found big hand bruises on his neck. In my opinion, it's an ancient shapeshifter, because how is a human dog around before they even evolved? Either that or the demon is a lying spirit, but strangely enough, my dad did find info about this creature on the internet, but he won't tell me because he's scared he will give it power if he tells me about it. Sorry if my spelling and grammar is incorrect.
Do you think that the father really had an experience, or he was just trying to further create fear for his child? because the fits of rage, you know, those are scary. And
sure.
If he really gets on a roll, he could try and further scare his kid.
By saying things and making things up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, it could go either way. If, you know, certainly it's rather disturbing if you have a dream and then you have physical manifestations of that dream.
Mm-hmm.
And people have had that happen. So if that's the case, there is clearly something going on. It's hard to identify exactly what it is, and doesn't necessarily mean what he saw in that dream is indeed what it is that happened, because it can take any shape or form at once. You're right. It could be someone that's just trying to terrorize their children at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that certainly does exist as well, and certainly should be put into the mix of consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that story. Anthony writes in, I have several experiences. However, when I was growing up in Beaumont, Texas, we lived in a home that had sliding doors to each room. Beyond our backyard, there was a bayou. Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. Want to make sure. What exactly is a bayou?
A swamp.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know I've heard the term many a times. I just never knew exactly. I knew it was water related.
Yes,
but it is. But I wasn't sure. So it's another word for swamp.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I think it's kind of an aerial word too.
Okay. Okay. It says, I remember entering the attic and seeing old posters of a kid riding a motocross bike. Shortly thereafter, we would experience hearing noises such as our piano unexplainably playing. Not some song, but random keys played. We'd hear sliding doors move in the night. I used to sneak out in the house as a teen and knew my father got up and made a pot of coffee. Shortly thereafter, I would leave. My father would always tell us that we were out of our mind, until one morning my dad asked who was up walking around. To his surprise, none of the kids were home that evening. My mother asked if he finally saw the kid, and he said he didn't know what he saw other than some kid. I used to scare my brother, and one evening I came home from football practice, sat in my recliner, and placed my headphones on and closed my eyes. The recliner suddenly started rocking sideways, and I quickly jumped up, thinking my brother was returning the scare, and nobody was there. So I dismissed it as nerves from football practice. So I went up and laid on my bed. Then I felt someone sit on my left side of the bed, because the bed sunk in at the same time. There was a heavy breath in my left ear. I quickly got up, went into the living room with my mom, and she asked, you finally saw him? Before we moved from the house, I was out and about and was invited to a Devo party. This was back in the 1980s, and there were no cell phones. Anyway, I was by myself, and after I was invited to this party, I was running to my car and noticed a wallet on the ground. I picked it up, and there was $320 in it. No ID, just money. So I started home. I walked up to the front door, and as I reached for the door, my mother opened it and simply said, you found some money. I was washing dishes and something told me, you had found money, just not how much. Ironically, the next morning my windshield was broken. The final week we were in that home, I was at a local park where teens hung out, and I was with a girlfriend. Anyway, my mother showed up and made me go home. After I got home, I fell asleep on the floor and quickly was back there in some sort of outer body experience. I knew this because I was like hovering above my girlfriend, moving from passenger side door of her car to the driver's side door, going past the trunk. I was listening to the entire conversation, discussing with another kid of her, and she started dating. In the closing of the conversation, I remember her saying, I'll call him in the morning. In the morning, the phone rang, and it was her. She said she wanted to break up and that we were going to be friends. Since I've moved from there, I still continue to experience weird and unexplained situations.
It's almost like living in this house gave people psychic abilities, you know?
Yeah.
Like the mom knowing about the money, and then he knowing that his girlfriend was going to break up with him ahead of time.
That's an interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
Of a home heightening the sensitivity of people to the point of kind of being psychic.
Now, is it that, or is it something that's within the home giving messages?
Could be either or.
Yeah.
I mean, the message thing is something that I think is, you know, more common to understand. Mm-hmm. From what we talked about with ghosts and messages and things of that nature, that's a new one of thinking of it raising the ability of everyone to be that sensitive.
Yeah.
Odd. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the letter. Amber writes in, "Hi guys, so I'm binge listening to your show and came across the one where you were talking about haunted dolls. I've had several experiences with the paranormal throughout my life and consider myself to be sensitive too. When I was in high school, I was working at this spa bed and breakfast that resided in one of the oldest houses in my little town. It was a Victorian-style home, originally built by the very wealthy Mr. Kerr, and it was well known in my town to be one of two haunted houses. I think this is partially because the owner had made a conscious decision to keep most of the structure original and decorate with many antique items. I always got a creepy feeling from certain ones, such as art made out of human hair, the original owner's marriage certificate, and old toys and dolls. Understandably, I always got a creepy feeling when I was alone cleaning and was painfully aware of the creaks of the house. One day I was cleaning the yoga studio in the attic and swore I heard someone's voice. Since I figured it was just one of my coworkers downstairs, I dismissed it and proceeded to finish cleaning. I then heard footsteps going down the stairs to the second floor and wondered if someone had come to get me. So I called out a hello, and when I didn't receive an answer, I went to investigate. As I got to the bottom step, I heard the door of the green room, where all the creepy antique toys lived, slam shut. I frowned, wondering why someone would slam it. It was a rather heavy door, and guests tended to just leave it open at night rather than mess with it. I found no one in the room, let alone the second floor. This wasn't the last time for me to experience something like this. On several occasions, I'd hear a man's voice shout out. Windows that had been locked shut sound like they'd been slammed, and footsteps followed me. I took to singing and humming to distract myself and try to show whatever was there. I wasn't scared. Other coworkers told me stories about things they had seen and heard, so I don't feel crazy for thinking the place was haunted. It turns out most of the activity was around the hair art and the green room. But the business isn't there anymore. I hope that whatever was there still has a home or has moved on, as it was never malicious towards me. I can't help but wonder what would have happened if I had gotten a chance to continue working there or even stay the night. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work."
So what do the marriage certificate, hair, and toys have in common besides they belong to the original owner?
Is this the Tribon Challenge?
No.
I don't know.
They're things that have a lot of emotion with them.
Okay.
For one, hair being on your body is kind of one connected. Of those things that's connected, but also, you know, especially women with their hair, they're very particular about that.
Mm-hmm.
Kids and toys, there's a real strong bond there, and then a marriage certificate being mm-hmm. very special. I think any one of those things could be the culprit in being haunted.
Or all three,
because they all hold such a significant amount of mm-hmm. importance to their owner.
It's the trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Add some toenail clippings in there, and holy shit.
And a stuffed dog.
And you have everything.
You do.
Everything you need for a haunting. Steven writes in, "Hello, I'm from Germany, a 48-year-old bloke, and I wanted to tell someone what once happened to me. About 10 years ago, I started to learn English. It wasn't really necessary ever since I don't talk that much anyway. I did it because of that dictionary, which I once bought in a secondhand shop. It just looked nice because it was well-made, and therefore I picked it up and paid for it. The dictionary used to have its own particular place on my shelf, apart from the other books, ever since it was about a different subject. To make it short, entering my living room, one could see it from the door on the top right-hand side of the shelf. One day, as I wanted to read over all the words which I have had learned so far, which were highlighted with a yellow pen marker, so I stood in front of the shelf, reaching for the book, but looking at something else. All I reached for was thin air. It wasn't there. Just to be sure, I took a step back and saw that the dictionary wasn't at its designated place. That was the only place it could have been, ever since I always put it straight back after usage to where it belongs to. So I stood there, was completely baffled, and looked rather helpless around me. Well, I started to swear in my language because I had no idea where it could have been. When I calmed down, I was still standing in front of my bookshelf. I heard suddenly a thumping noise behind me. I slowly looked over my shoulder, seeing my dictionary lying on the floor right behind me. I was stunned. Where was it suddenly coming from? And where has it been in the meantime? Because when I went into the living room, I should have seen it or tripped over it because it was now lying on the floor right in the middle between the door and the shelf. I didn't know what to think and suddenly felt that someone was looking at me. I walked around in my flat, checked everything, but found nothing out of the ordinary. Well, if someone is telling me that an object like a book can basically materialize out of thin air, I'd be rather skeptical. But that is what actually happened. No, I haven't got the dictionary anymore, and yes, there are a few other things which used to happen to me when I was young. There are things which contradict our understanding of the natural laws, but I have no evidence. Even if I had some, I think I would make a big deal about it. Thank you for your time, guys. Bye.
I wouldn't hang on to the dictionary either.
The one that magically appears and disappears?
I think something's moving it. I don't think it's really disappearing. I think it's just temporarily lost.
I wonder if something drew him to buy it.
I don't know. That could be.
You know, because he didn't speak the language initially.
Mm-hmm.
And he just felt the urge to get this book. You know, that's just, it's odd.
And he did a good job with his English.
He did.
10 years in, so.
Yeah, he really did. Very interesting. I do wonder. I kind of just had the feeling that there was some reason he was drawn to buy that book. Maybe it was to eventually learn the language. Maybe there's still something bigger picture here that will someday help him out with.
Could be.
That's you know, going to be a very big reason. Good story. Thank you for sharing that. Alyssa writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's been nearly a year since I've written into you guys, even though I have continued to have strange experiences with the paranormal. Nothing so far has been exciting or interesting enough to write in. Until now, this incident occurred a few months ago. I live in a basement suite. I was sitting in my living room playing on my phone. I was on the couch with my back to the kitchen area when I began to hear a loud humming sound that seemed to be coming from the kitchen. At first, I ignored it, even though I'd been sure I was home alone, figuring it must be coming from upstairs, and there was nothing in my kitchen that would make such a noise. I continued to ignore the sound for a few moments more, but it was very loud and persistent, and I began to notice a high-pitched whistle mixed in with the humming. The confusion from being so sure I was home alone and hearing such a strange noise eventually prompted me to turn around. What I saw, I'll never forget. There in the kitchen, floating about a foot below the ceiling, was what I can only describe as some sort of portal or vortex. It was oval-shaped, about a foot long, and it was spinning rather slowly in a whirlpool-like fashion. I could see white dots, much like stars, moving within it. I turned back around and sat there for a moment in shock. I knew there was no way I had just seen a black hole floating in my kitchen. So what was it? Once I worked up the courage to look again, the thing was gone. There's no humming sound anymore, and I'm not sure at what point it stopped. To say that I was afraid after that would have been an understatement. You don't just see something like that and then continue like nothing happened. I spent hours online looking for answers, but no one seems to have an explanation for what I saw. All I know is that if I ever see it again, I won't be so quick to look away.
Have we had stories of portals showing up? I figure if I can't remember, there's no chance you will.
I want to say it's been related in a story, but not that direct.
Okay.
Where people speculating of, you know, did I walk through a portal in the woods and this happened? Or not so much, I saw this floating in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she looked online. If she would have just gone to, is this really a portal in my kitchen.com? She would have seen all the I'm kidding.
I know you're kidding.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know exactly what a portal would look like. A lot of times I think people don't even realize that they're entering one or experiencing one. It just seems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But to physically see it and experience it, that's a new one.
Yeah. I wonder if it has anything to do with being in the basement.
Just at it.
A pet, and like just throw a cat through the portal and see what happens.
Then all of a sudden it like pops back out. You know, it's like 10 years older. It's all gray.
Or it's a kitten.
It's a kitten. Yeah, it goes back in time. I mean, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, it's just, you wonder what's going to happen if you do throw something at it. Maybe throw a kitchen spoon at it, see what happens there.
Maybe it comes flying back at you with a lot of force.
Or we get a story from someone in another part of the country, like months later, where it's like, and this kitchen, this spoon came flying out of nowhere. It's not even from my kitchen, you know. It somehow transports itself through time and space, you know. Or we get a story of, and my grandma had the story of one day this cat came flying through her kitchen back in the 20s. And it's the other end of the story.
I see.
Someone from the future threw it and someone is recognizing the story from the past.
So you call that episode Cat from the Future?
Exactly, Cat from the Future.
Okay.
It's a new animated series. Cat from the Future. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to this caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Genevieve again from San Antonio, Texas. Wanted to make an attempt to try and call and retell my story. I feel like maybe the details of my last call, of the story from my last call, were sort of all over the place. So I wanted to try and make an attempt to retell it. Basically, the gist of the call was just I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts or what any of the listeners' thoughts are on games being connected to the other side. I know, obviously, the Ouija board is a popular one, but reason for this question is because back in the day, this would have been a couple of Christmases after my parents separated. I had been asking my dad for this game. I'm not sure if you ever heard of it. It was called Ask Xandar, and it was a board game with pogs around it, and you would flip a pog over, and the pog would have a question. You would ask the question out loud. There was a little crystal ball with a wizard in the middle of the board, and you would ask the question out loud, wave your hand around the top of the crystal ball, and it would answer whatever the said pog would say, or whatever question the pog would ask. And I was so excited to have it. I was playing it. My dad had actually stayed at my grandma's house. She has an old two-story house. It was my grandma residing there, my dad, my dad's girlfriend, and her son, and my uncle. My uncle just kind of crashed on the couch downstairs. Anyway, the night of Christmas Eve, I was playing with my game, and we were in bed, and around, had to have been around 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, we just start to hear, we were asleep upstairs, and we just start to hear what sounded like a basketball being thrown downstairs. Just boom, boom, but super loud. My dad, of course, gets up, and we were afraid, you know, all the lights were out. My dad called out to my uncle, Tony, is that you? And nothing. So we immediately thought maybe someone broke in or something. So I freaked out. I'm not staying here. And I told my dad, I asked my dad if I could go with him to go look around. And he put me on his back. And I remember going downstairs. And it was super creepy going down the stairs because all of the lights were off. We went to check her little lobby area. It was a huge house. We went to check the living room. My uncle was fast asleep. For some reason, the noise didn't wake him up, though. We walked all through the dining room, looked around, nothing there. Went to my grandma's room downstairs. She was asleep. Couldn't find an explanation for that noise or what might have created it. So not 2 seconds after we went back upstairs and got back into bed, we started to hear the noise again. Boom, 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 boom. Loud, super loud. And at this point, my dad was kind of pissed off and went downstairs to go look around again. Nothing. So nothing else happened that night. My dad had dropped me back off at my mom's the next day. And again, I was playing the game that night, turned in, didn't really think anything of it until the next day. My mom, my sister, and I were having breakfast, and my sister had asked me what time I went to bed. My mom answered for me and told her that I had turned in around 10. And I asked why. My sister said that because when she got home from work, she left her keys in her purse. She had a fairly large purse. I guess she didn't feel like looking for her keys in her purse, so she started knocking on the door. It was locked. She had started knocking on the door, and No one answered. And my mom was up, but she said she was in the kitchen and she was washing dishes. She had the radio on, so she didn't hear. But the door was clearly locked. My sister was adamant about that. And, you know, when she finally gave up after no answer and looked down into her purse to grab her keys, she hears the door unlock and it opened. So we're obviously weirded out. I told her that I was asleep, that it wasn't me. My mom said, obviously, it wasn't her, because when the door opened, my sister looked into the kitchen, and there my mom was washing dishes. So something opened that door. My mom is my family is actually really, really superstitious, and a couple of things started happening around the house. And of course, I continued to play that game because we hadn't put together that that might be the reason for these little happenings. But things continued to happen around the house. Lights would flicker. Things that shouldn't have been would fall from certain places. I think like glasses that weren't on the edge of the counter, I think that happened once or twice, would fall. Just really, really odd things. And my mom had ultimately put together that it's the game. She thought that because the game is almost like a Ouija board, you ask it a question and it gives you an answer. She thought that maybe that might be attracting something into our house. So we decided to put it away. We decided to throw it away. And lo and behold, after we threw it, the weird shit stopped happening. But it's just odd because, you know, it's not like I would ask the crystal ball my own personal questions. It was a pog that already had a pre-generated question that you would ask it. For example, am I going to be a millionaire when I grow up? And you would ask it the question. You know, these were not questions coming from me. So I know it might sound a little silly, but I just wanted to know your thoughts, or maybe gain some perspective from the listeners on it. Has this happened to anyone else with that game? Again, it's called Ask Xandar. If anyone else had these experiences, I've always been curious about that. It wasn't a very popular board game, and so I've never met anyone that had the same experience. So that was my reason for sharing. I know it's not a really scary story, but I kind of just wanted to reach out and see who else, if possible, that's happened to. So I love the show. I became an EPP member not 5 minutes before calling, and I love it. I listen to you guys all night at work. I work from 6 p.m. to midnight, so you guys definitely keep me up at work, and I just wanted to commend you all for the wonderful work that you do. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I always felt pogs were a gateway to hell.
I forgot about those.
That was around... I was never into pogs.
That was middle school for us.
It was like sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I remember kids in sixth grade playing with them, and I was like, what the hell are you doing? Why? Why are you spending your money on these things?
Right.
And slammers. That was... Because you put them down and you threw the slammer, which is like a thick metal pog,
uh-huh.
essentially, or milk cap is what it was.
Yeah.
Like, and that, if they flipped over, you won them? Or how the hell? I don't know.
I don't know.
There's like little containers for them and all that shit. Anyway. I never have heard of the game.
I haven't either.
But I think anything where you're, you know, somewhat trying to be normal or supernatural things, you got the possibility of them showing up.
Do you think magic eight balls fall into that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Those are, I mean, you're fairly limited on your responses there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all pre-programmed responses.
Yeah.
It's like wherever that dice, it's like, you know, it's like a dice.
It's just like, where's that line, though, on games that you ask?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you got a point. I don't know. I mean, if someone can make an argument for it, I'll listen.
I loved Magic 8 Ball when I was a kid.
I could never get the damn thing to, like, land.
Really?
So you could read it. It would always, like, just kind of, like, it stuck at a corner. And you couldn't, like, really, you're like, well, it's either this one or that one, and I can't really read it.
Uh-huh.
Very indecisive. A very, very indecisive Magic 8-Ball.
That's very funny.
It didn't have the magic to it. It was just an 8-Ball. Eventually, you just take a, you know, pool cue, and you hit it with the ball, and then it explodes, and the liquid goes everywhere.
Is that what you did?
No.
Okay. But
it would be kind of fun to try that sometime.
I've never destroyed one. I don't know what the liquid looks like inside.
Is that like a bad luck deal?
I have no idea.
If you destroy a Magic 8 Ball, like destroying a Ouija board, you know, or something of that nature. Like, I wonder if there's anything with that. You taught me one the other day that I was unaware of as far as a superstition thing, and that's the rocking chair.
You don't rock an empty rocking chair.
I never heard that before.
I don't know if it's a Southern thing or not, but you don't do that.
Is that something that, I'm trying to like think of the origin.
I have no idea.
And like where it made sense. If it was just like a parent that at one point got sick of their children rocking the chairs, you know, because they're just going around like, stop. And like, that's bad luck, you know, like, and just told them something that's completely bullshit. But then like the child grows up and then they just repeat this. So then it becomes this thing that goes on forever.
I have no idea. I
wonder.
I didn't have a rocking chair around that I rocked empty, you know, so sure. It wasn't my parents just making that up.
No, I'm not saying your parents. Okay. I'm saying like at some point in time, somebody's parent said this to somebody and then it just blossoms out into this thing where like they're an adult and they tell their kids that it's bad luck, you know, and it's just some weird thing that somebody made up at one point to get their kids to stop playing with the rocking chair.
I haven't Googled it to see if there's an origin.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in those things because you look at it and go, where did that come from?
I know.
You know, there's always something, and it's usually kind of interesting to if you can even trace it back.
Oh, it probably sounded really bizarre to you when I said that.
Well, it's, you know, it's it makes sense for like a superstition type thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, but I was like, where did that, wonder why? And I just get curious, you know. I don't doubt that that's a superstition thing. I'm just like, wonder why that came up, or how did that come about?
I don't know.
Those things interest me. I was going to say about the Ouija board because they were talking about that a little bit there in that story.
Mm-hmm.
We should start a book of Ouija boards and just the most random Ouija board pictures we get. People see these things now, and if it's anything beyond just the slightly normal Ouija board that comes in the box, that's the traditional black and, you know, grayish colors, they send us a picture. I mean, I've seen everything now from Ouija cakes to Ouija panties to Ouija everything.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, holy shit, how many ways can someone make a Ouija board?
I don't know.
You could have like a couple hundred page book out of that. It's really bizarre, and it's creepy, and it's kind of neat that everyone sends us bizarre Ouija pictures. So, anyhow, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to help keep our show on the air, become an EPP, sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all those bonus episodes, 70-some, that you can just sit there and binge away on. If you've finished up the week's episodes, get those and enjoy for your weekend. Also, of course, bonus video content on there as well, so check that out. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.